Adrian. Great. Tonight we're visiting an environmental document for a project of times. The district adopted a capital improvement program last year. Was a project that was also in the basin plan under Program A, and that's the construction of an upper aquifer, what some people know as Zone C well, at our 8th Street Water Yard site. It's something that we've been talking about for a number of years. In fact, we've applied for grant funding for it a number of times, ranked decently, but not successful yet at obtaining grant funds. And it's a project we intend to move forward to get increasingly shovel-ready to improve our chances of getting grants, but ultimately we may need to fund it ourselves. A couple of key items for those of you who are following basin plan projects. One is this project is intended to continue to relax our reliance on the west side of the lower aquifer towards the ocean, which is the most... induces seawater intrusion the most. And this particular project is intended to be a blending well to our existing 8th Street lower aquifer well, which is very low in nitrates. This upper aquifer well, we expect to have nitrate in it, but would be a blending source with our lower aquifer well. We've also included language in the environmental document to allow the installation of a nitrate removal facility, but that would not be proposed initially. We'll get it permitted that way, but would only build the well and operate it, and we'd only put in the nitrate removal facility if we were forced to do so, because it's far more expensive to operate that than it is just to blend the well. This project, while it's important and in Program A, doesn't mean that the other projects in the basin plan, such as a new well on the east side, aren't also very important, but this one is... higher on the list in terms of readiness, because we already own the property and we're ready to go to the next step of adopting an environmental document. If this is approved this evening, this will be the basis for us to apply for a coastal development permit through San Luis Obispo County, and then the project, once that's complete, will truly be shovel ready. I'd be happy to answer any questions tonight, but staff's recommending that you adopt the resolution attached to your staff report. Adopt the mitigated negative declaration.
Okay, thank you. Any questions first from the board before we open it up to the public?
I do.
Okay.
Rob, in the staff report, it talks about a 7,000-gallon tank, storage tank. How tall is that 7,000-gallon tank, and compared to any other facilities that are already on site?
Yeah. We have currently a couple of 10,000-gallon tanks, and it will be shorter than those two tanks.
Okay. 3 to 4 times a week we're going to empty this tank. Trucks are coming in. How many trucks? Does one truck empty the tank?
Yeah, one.
Okay,
one
it just is lacking there. I mean, it could be 10 trucks to empty the tank. I don't really know.
Right, one truck would do it, yeah.
Okay. Going to shift 100 to 150 acre feet per year from lower to upper aquifer production. 20% of the district's water supply, 100 to 150 acre feet, is that really true?
Well, let's see, we're pumping about 600 acre feet a year in round numbers.
Okay, you're right, because I'm thinking basin total, but that's Golden State and everybody else. Okay,
right.
That's where I'm doing well. Is it too late to have changes in the background made to this report? Because, and I'm a stickler about this kind of thing, but the first paragraph talks about the resolution 8313 requiring the community to develop a community-wide centralized wastewater collection system and treatment plant. That is not what that order is all about. It's about cessation of discharge from leach fields. You know, and it might be a small little thing in most people's minds, but it's really not accurate. The Water Board never said you have to build a centralized anything. They said stop discharging from the leach fields. And I like to be accurate.
Okay. If there's, let me see, I'm getting on the same page here. So you're under project description.
I'm on page 2, that under background, project background summary, halfway through. talks about Water Board, Resolution 8313.
I don't mind. Well, Counselor can correct me if I'm wrong, but if there's some... Because that's so tangential to the
project itself. It's just background stuff.
I don't mind striking
some of that. It's not changing
a
project description. It's not changing anything that needs to be approved.
Yeah.
It's just an accurate reflection of what that Regional Water Board order was.
I'd have no problem with some language changes there.
Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Seitz.
I think if we do have changes that are to be made, they should be made now as opposed to waiting to do so after we take the vote on the resolution. So if you have any language that you'd want to propose.
Okay, I would propose that we change that one sentence to this order requires the community to cease discharges from individual septic leach fields.
Okay.
I have no problem with that language.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, now we'll open this up to the public.
Wait. I'm sorry. Rob, in terms of the different phases that you alluded to in your description, one would be something we'd be doing right now, and then there's a potential for another chunk of activity downstream, which may be from external funds or grants. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. You put a number on those, not a dollar number, but a percentage number of effort or something like that?
Well, I think you're looking at least 50% of the effort being upfront,
okay,
to construct, equip, and plumb the well in, operate it, and see if we can just use it for blending, which would be great. And then, if not, the additional 50% would need to have a different funding source.
Okay, and these tasks could be done next quarter?
Yeah, so let's get a sense of schedule. That's a good question. So if we... If it's approved tonight and we apply for a coastal development permit, it usually takes 4 to 6 months if we're moving to get that document in place.
Yeah.
The county was actually pretty good with the South Bay nitrate removal system. They moved it along, and it depends on how far it goes up the appeal chain there. So let's say in earliest best case 4 to 6 months. And then we'd have a project that is approved in a coastal development permit. It's at that point we could develop drawings to build it and go out to bid, and probably by the next summer we could actually be in construction if we don't have any hiccups here.
Okay, excellent. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, let's open this up to the public. Got the microphones over here. Please state your name for the record and please address the board. Thank you.
Owen from Los Sensos. I wanted to ask a few questions. We haven't had much discussion about endocrine disruptors, and that is usually nitrates are only a measure for how much other stuff is getting in the water. So I know we have done studies in the past, not complete or anything, but we got information about those. So I'd like a discussion about those, because when you're talking about blending them, yuck. Is the blending station going to be on site with that well, the new well? So,
if you would address the board, and then Rob will answer questions
at
the end.
I also would like to know, I've brought it up a couple times now, but I think it's really time for us to have the CSD provide a water service to people's homes, to their water tanks. That's probably the best way to keep people from using pristine drinking supply from our lower aquifer to water plants and wash cars. And, you know, even if they could afford to put the water into their toilets would be excellent. So I want that to be part of the project or someplace. I know we have a water truck, and I want the CSD to begin looking at that, because people can buy a tank for $500 and you could get a delivery every 2 weeks, like our drinking water. I also am a little upset that this did not go. This is why these committee meetings, the water committee should have met, and we should have been discussing and been kept up to date on this. So I'm just going to object again that we don't meet once a month. That's really important, especially now. So I think that's all. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next speaker.
Good evening, Mr. President. Good day, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards, and I'd like to thank Rob for an, as always, informative presentation. I just wanted to make a few remarks, somewhat cautionary ones, regarding the utilization of the upper basin or Zone 3 water. First of all, the project that's being proposed quite likely will result in a nitrogen removal component, and as the blending probably won't work. And I have a few concerns in that regard. First of all, I'd like to see the South Bay nitrogen removal project have a little more operating history so we can learn a little bit more from that project, both as to ongoing operating costs and effectiveness and yield. Yield is a question here. The range is 100 acre feet to 150 acre feet per year, and it may realistically be at the lower end of that. And when you look at the cost per acre foot, it becomes maybe a questionable project, especially if you're unable to secure the grant financing or grant funding. So it is part of Program A in the Basin Plan, but it also there's a larger nitrogen removal program under B of the Basin Plan, and that's a $20 million project. So this technology is very expensive, and the yield that we get may not be as much as we could get spending that same amount of money, those same resources, in a different context. We might get anywhere from 2 to 3 times the yield. So those are my concerns. Again, if the grant is not available, perhaps this is something we really want to take another look at. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next.
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker, and I have a concern in that over the last several months in your warrant packet, you've been spending a little bit of money on an architect and permitting for the 8th Street Water Yard. And my concern is what is being developed in that project, that this is going on at the same site, and you do not want to bifurcate a project and have impacts from one project that may be in conflict or may be in concert with the other project. And so whatever's going on, and it goes back to those committee meetings, we aren't seeing what this YS Kim, the architect, is doing for some improvements at the water yard and the building. You know, are we going to build the Taj Mahal that we talked about in 2005? And, you know, I don't know where you're going with the improvements on that building. But if there's another project at the same location, you need to include that in the environmental impacts of one project. So, thanks.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions or comments? Excuse me.
Richard Markson, just a brief question, since it looks like we're going to get some answers for some questions tonight, because Rob's here on this subject. If he could maybe give a little synopsis on what the impact of drawing that many acre feet from the upper aquifer will have on the basin once the wastewater project is online, in relation to the recycled program and where the water is going around town and to the dryland farmers and stuff, if the drought conditions continued for an extended period of time, what impact that'll have on the upper aquifer and seawater intrusion overall.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments, questions? Okay, seeing none, close public comment, bring it back. Rob, you had a couple questions there to answer.
Yes, please. Lindy had a question about endocrine disruptors, and the upper aquifer was tested a number of years ago for a set of chemical constituents that aren't currently regulated by the state health department, and endocrine disruptor is just one type of chemical, but there are others. That report is available. We don't know at that specific location what the quality is going to be, but certainly before we are allowed to put any water into our system, state health makes us run through a full suite of chemicals, and we have to get a clean bill of health before we can put it in the water. The folks do need to know that a lot of those are not currently regulated. So to the extent that they become regulated, before this goes online, that's something we would have to deal with. But we see that as being probably a long process. The states determine that those are at such low levels they don't pose a threat to human health. But more on that as the regulations come down in future years. The desire for a potential tank service, house to house, that's not part of the project now, though having an upper aquifer well there, I think the plumbing would be quite easy to be able to do some sort of a tank fill facility if we ended up needing that as a community. The plumbing is right there. It's a place where you could park. I could see a way of doing that with very little extra effort, which I think would be kind of neat. And she asked about the blending facilities, whether they'd be on site. Yes, they'd be right there within the confines of the yard. Jeff was making a comment about blending not working. I guess the issue would be blending will work to some degree because we know there's low nitrates in our lower aquifer well. To how much will that work and to what degree, we won't know until the well is drilled and we begin producing from it. And we certainly will have some operating history out of the South Bay well before this project actually goes to construction. We're just trying to get it shovel ready at this point, but we're many months out from that. As far as the cost per acre foot, it might be a little cheaper to build a lower aquifer well on the east side of the community, but I think it's not an either or thing, it's a both and. I think both projects are cost effective and both need to be pursued. In terms of the improvements to the 8th Street building, I view those as completely separate projects, even though they're on the same site. I'm not sure if that's just a remodel or what the scope of that other project is. But this won't be impacting the building. It will be a separate well enclosure on site. And then as far as the drought condition and impacts from extractions at this location, our Zone C does rely on rainwater recharge. It's a our shallow aquifer. It's fed from the perch zones above it, from other shallow sources. And so to the extent that the drought is prolonged for many years, our yield will decrease out of both upper and lower aquifer. One of the things in the basin plan is there needs to be monitoring not just in the lower aquifer for potential seawater intrusion, but even in the upper. So that balance of pumping needs to occur in both upper and lower aquifer, and rainfall is a very important driver for yield here. So if we get 50% of the rainfall, the long-term yield will drop, maybe not exactly 50%, but certainly drop significantly. So that's an important discussion. I'd be happy to address any other questions the board may have.
Okay, thank you. Just to add on with Ms. Tacker's comment about the building, it's mostly code upgrade and ADA compliant bathrooms. The place is, I think, built in 1930 originally, and it has not been remodeled much since. So it's just basically bringing it up to code in there. That's what's required. Okay, so let's bring this back to the board. Discussion. Comment. Seeing none?
I think it's a sound project. I think we should move forward as soon as possible. And if we can go forward from this night and sort of pay attention to some of the discussion we've had and get the papers moving, and then we can actually get below the surface of the ground, I hope.
Okay, very good. Any other comments?
Since it came up, I do think there is a demand. I don't know exactly whether it's for upper aquifer water, recycled water, or what, but people are asking for something for plants, and there's a demand there for that.
Okay. Can I get a motion then?
Yes.
Please.
I move that the board adopt resolution 2015-11 adopting a mitigated negative declaration for the A Street upper aquifer well and nitrate removal project.
Okay. Have a second, please.
Second.
2 seconds. Thank you. Okay.
I need 1 second.
One second.
Have to step outside.
We'll go since
somebody give me a second.
We'll give it to Lou since he's
I got to change the wording in the.
Yeah,
the
that's right.
Wait, I have to. Can I change my motion? Very good point, Chuck. I apologize. Okay, can I change my motion? Then I will draw that motion and remove. I move that the board approve the issuance of conditional intent to. Okay, can we just rewind and start over? I move that the board adopt Resolution 2015-11 adopting a mitigative negative declaration for the A Street Upper Aquifer Well and Nitrate Removal Project as amended.
And a second? Lou?
Second.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Kudar, the vote, please.
Vice President Ohilski?
Yes.
Director Tornatsky?
Yes.
Director Sasania?
Yes.
Director Storm?
Yes.
President Wright?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Let's move on to number 8. This is public comment for items not on the agenda. Please step forward to the microphone, state your name, and address the board. Thank you.
Peggy Pavick. I continue to have serious concerns about this CSD board, the general manager, and the board president. I'm very concerned about how our money is being squandered and how poorly managed the LOCSD has become. Further, I was absolutely stunned last month when the only board member seemed shocked over the fact that Kivley and Wright were having secret meetings. Director Sasania was the only one. He had been blindsided. He didn't know that you folks had been making these decisions on your own. As a matter of fact, I think it goes against CSD policy to hold secret meetings. This community deserves better. We're paying the bills. You're working for us. We demand to be included in the decision-making process when it involves our money. I'm well aware of some of the sneaky, underhanded tactics that President Wright can do, like sole sourcing contracts that you don't even get bids for. For example, I saw how you got rid of a 12-year employee at the church, and you over someone that had embellished and falsified her employment application. You got rid of an elderly nun who taught religious ed. That's how you get things through. Is this the best Los Osos can do? Is this the best you can do for our community? If this is the best, then I hope that we can dissolve this. Thank you.
Sandra Hedges, Los Osos. I agree 100% with the last speaker. Also, I've been watching the last tape, and it is concerning to me that one man and one woman can make the decisions of the board. Why are we here? What are we saving being here? Why is so much money being wasted? Why do you think they didn't have Highland Drive on the other side for not to sewer 30 years ago? Maybe it's because we don't have water, and then we keep wanting to build and put money here and there. Where's it coming from? Most of the people in this town don't have money. Even on the people on the hill don't have that money. And I think that it would be right for you to stop down, to just let somebody else be president, because coercing with someone else, did anybody, how did you guys hire that woman, the manager? When you knew, you must not have really looked into her stuff if she was fired from the last job. So I'd like to know how she got hired and how she got a $500 raise, because it's not right. And there's a lot of people here that don't agree with it. So I think you guys need to get together and work something out, because it's not getting good. And if it keeps going, believe me, there's a lot of people in this town who do not want a CSD anymore. Thank you.
Lindy Owen, again, I just wanted to, I'm going to keep bringing this up because I'm getting my water tank in about 2 weeks, and I want a CSD delivery truck. I think you can afford to earn some extra revenue you have sources of getting it from the upper aquifer, and eventually we'll have tertiary treated wastewater that should be available too. There are ancient trees in this town that are going under. They're cutting them down left and right, and if you want to live in a concrete city, let's do nothing. So that's just going to keep that one at the front of my comments. I object to Ms. Kivley as our general manager. I think she has been an absolute failure. We have no audit. That should have been done last fall, as I understand. We have no balanced budget. There's questions. Every budget she turns out has problems. It's not correct. This advertising, $35,000, I believe it was, spent to have an outside agency do advertising for us. We haven't seen the overall cost. It looks like it continues because it appears that they're now sending out CSD flyers and so forth that we used to do in-house, or we had local people doing it. Filming at AGP, the AGP meetings live at the community center. It's a community center. This is a community services district. We're at a golf course, for God's sakes. It crammed into a stupid little room where I can't breathe. So I urge you to reconsider having pulled out of the community center. And if it was for political reasons, get over it. It is our community center. And the committee meetings. Again, why would your general manager tell you that we didn't need to meet more than once every 3 months on important issues like finance, utility activities, all of this stuff that, you know, we have to wait to come up to each meeting to find out that she has already done these things? And lastly, why in the world would we need a new building? The building we're in has been absolutely fine from the start. We've had a CSD operating out of there. When we used to have fire, we used to have a whole list of other things that we did out of our CSD. Now we mostly do water. And Ms. Kivley needs a palace? Thank you.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and some of the comments before me referred to Ms. Kivley's raise. And something that happened at the same time was the reduction in the committee meetings to quarterly. So not only did she get a raise, she got a reduced workload. So that subsequently becomes a bigger raise. By doing so, the public, and I believe even you as directors, have been left out of some decision making, and the list of questions gets longer and longer each time we come to these meetings. The lack of committee meetings, the finance committee meeting was canceled for unforeseen circumstances. And when asked why, there's no answer. And then now it's after her vacation. So that's pretty foreseen. People plan vacations ahead of time. We are lacking an audit. We are, I think, behind schedule in getting a budget ready. CSDs before this board, before this manager, we looked at drafts much earlier. I have a problem with a recent meeting in this room that took place between the farmers and the ISJ partners, and the subsequent cost of wine and cheese and the rental of the room and a PA system that wasn't there and a podium. And we paid half. The ISJ, we are 39% partners in. We paid half, and the half, whether you say Golden State's half included the wine or not, means we paid for half the wine. That's how it works. And government entities are not allowed to pay for alcohol. We have a direction from your board in closed session on May 1st, 2014 to enter into a contract or pursue a contract with Verizon Cellular Service. And there's a minor use permit at the County of San Luis Obispo to use your land. You've not had a contract in front of the public. You have not seen one yourselves, as far as I know, and that's a public process. What does that
contract or that service using our property benefit this district? It might be a fine project, but that's what vetting in public is for, and we're not seeing it. Moving from the community center, this was done, and it's not practical. The parking here, the restrooms outside, tonight it happens to be cold. It doesn't work. Okay. This location doesn't work.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Thank you, President Wright. Board members, good evening again. My name is Jeff Edwards. I wanted to visit with you a little bit about an issue that I think is of increasing importance in the community, and it certainly affects your constituents, and that has to do with the financing for the Los Osos Wastewater Project. And I'm not going to talk about the project, but I do want to chat a little bit about the financing. And as you may know, the financing is made up of two primary loans. One of them is $69 million. It's a Clean Water State Revolving Fund loan. And that's the current terms on that are 30 years at 2%. And when the state board approved that loan in March of 2010, they encouraged the county and the community to come back and ask for a further reduction in the interest rate. And a little quick math, if we were able to reduce the interest rate from 2% down to 0.5%, which I'm told is realistic, that would save over $10 million over the life of the loan. And I think that it is fairly significant. Perhaps we can use some of those funds or really revenue stream for the development of water resource projects, which I think is clearly something that we're all interested in. I would encourage you to mention it to Supervisor Gibson. He says it's on his plate, and so any further comments I think would help him move that along. Certainly the Regional Water Board, they meet later this month in San Luis Obispo, and any comments at the Water Board meeting would be constructive. And finally, the State Water Board members, there's five of those, and they can be reached through the State Board, or they have a liaison that actually attends the Regional Board meetings. So that's all I have. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Next speaker.
Richard Margetson, I think at the end of your last meeting, the end of your last meeting, Mr. Cicina asked that an agenda item be included as soon as possible dealing with what happened with moving the meetings from the community center to Sea Pines and that process and how it took place, who was involved, and the reasonings, and to have a public discussion of that. I don't see it again on this agenda, and I'm just curious why. But my main part of my comment deals with a little bit with what took place earlier. A number of questions were asked by the public of Mr. Miller. Mr. Miller answered those questions. I think many of the questions had validity, and probably most of the people in the room were interested in the answers, and that was refreshing. But that's not how it's been in this community at these meetings or at any of the committee meetings in probably the last 6-8 months. Unless a question is directed to Mr. Miller when he shows up at a meeting, any other questions asked by the public at these meetings are absolutely ignored with no response. Every meeting I've attended recently, a question asked of staff or Ms. Kivley goes unanswered. Many times, if a director or a member of staff attempts to answer a question, she's been caught leaning over and saying, we will not be answering questions. Don't answer the question. Is that transparency, gentlemen? If that's her idea of how to run this district, then she's under the assumption that you five directors know all of the answers to all of the issues. And you don't need to hear the answers to any of those questions from the public, from her constituency, from your constituency. I don't believe that's a valid analysis. This community, many of the great things that have happened in this community happened at the committee level. were started at the committee level, and questions were answered and pursued and followed up on and responded to at the next meeting or the meeting after that. That's not the process now. And now your general manager's on a vacation during the 2 months leading up to approval of a budget? I guarantee you, Mr. Buckscheid at the county is taking no vacations in May or June leading up to adoption of the county budget. This is crunch time. You don't even have an audit.
Fire. Okay, thank you. Next speaker? Okay. Seeing none, we'll close public comment. For items not on the agenda, we'll move on to administrative reports. Under the fire department, it's in our packet. Chief Anaris had to be away unexpectedly. He did want us to remind the public that there's a chipping day project Tuesday, May 26th through Friday, May 29th. There are door hangers that are going out in the community on this, and it's a free opportunity to get rid of your waste, and the fire department will facilitate getting rid of it. And also, just as a reminder, starting June 1st is the start of the hazard abatement inspections. In other words, the vacant lots, the fire department will be going around, and the lot owners are obligated to clear their lots or get cited. So that starts June 1st. And with that, we'll move on to utilities department.
Good evening, Board. My name is Margaret Faulkner, and I'm here to report on the March for the Utilities Department, March 2015. Our water production was about 15.8 million gallons, which is a 2% increase from last year at this time. And 57% of the service area was billed for 14.8 million gallons from the periods February 10th through April 10th. And the revenue generated from this was $143,355. So these numbers represent a decrease in consumption by approximately 5%, but an increase in revenue by approximately 17% when compared to last year at this time. Below on the first page, you'll see well production and runtime hours for each well site. And we'll go on to the drought. New from the governor's office. We keep getting more and more updates every day. The district's water production for the calendar years 2013 and 14 were compared, and the total production decrease in 2014 was by approximately 14.5%. So we're pretty much on our way to that 25% reduction. And as far as water conservation, we have a lot of fixtures. We've been handing out quite a bit of fixtures in the office, and we welcome the customers, the water customers, to please come and pick up all kinds of fixtures and low-flow shower heads and faucet aerators. We, in fact, ran out of garden hoses at one time, the garden nozzle, but we keep ordering, so there's been a lot of ordering, and we've got more in. These items are really popular with our customers, so we're working on compliance as far as drainage is concerned. I know we haven't had much rain, but we still have a permit that we have to answer to. So I've included your rainfall totals for the calendar year, and those were measured down at the yard, and as you can tell, like even today, it rains just in pockets around here, so you might get more down at one area than you do over in others. But this concludes my report for this evening.
Okay, thanks. Can you give us an update on the Palisades well?
I don't have any information on that right now.
But it is back in operation?
I believe they put it back in operation. I'm not sure. Okay. I know that there was the contractor was out there, and Frank was out dealing with them.
Okay.
I believe it is back.
Thanks. Any questions from the board?
Is our target 25% from the state? I mean, different communities had different targets. Santa Cruz got 8%. I think the 25 was a kind of a general statewide thing. But different communities were handed different targets. Were we singled out, or are we just going off the assumption that we're included in that general statewide 25%?
I'm just going off the assumption.
Okay.
I think, as I've noticed, most of our residential customers are using a lot less. But
oh, yeah, we're doing a great job.
I think
we are.
And
that's why I wondered if maybe we were targeted for less than 25%, because we have been good.
But, we might be. But we're only a portion of the
well, that's true.
Community.
Okay. Thanks. Any other questions from the board? Seeing none, thank you, Margaret.
Sure.
Okay, next item is the District Legal Counsel report. Mr. Seitz.
Yes, and just to start off, President Wright gave the fire department report and talked about door hangers. If you look over on the table over there, you're going to see about 1,000 of them. So if anybody wants one to take home with them tonight regarding the chipping day, they're right over there on the table. Some of the audience is aware of this, but there was a court appearance this week in regards to the groundwater adjudication case, and basically we were advising the court regarding the status of our agreements and also setting a date for the approval of the basin plan, the joint powers agreement, and the stipulated judgment. The date for the next court appearance is August 14. All documents that I just referenced will be submitted to the court and become public no later than July 31st, 2014. I think there's a chance that they'll be made available to the public earlier than that. Obviously, the basin plan is already out there for public perusal, but the other documents, being a stipulated judgment and the JPA agreement, will likewise be out there in the public domain. From that point forward, assuming that the court approves a stipulated judgment and the other documents, there won't be any more private ISJ meetings. They will be now public JPA meetings, and the entire process will be conducted in public. One of the parts of the what the court encouraged us to do is to provide notice to people who use wells, either large wells such as ag interests, or other people who have wells that are providing them with water or have the right to provide water. We have to provide them notice of the date that the court is going to consider the stipulated judgment so that they would have their potential right to intervene prior to that time. It's a express provision of the stipulated judgment that if you're not a party to it, your rights are not affected. So the only rights that are affected by the stipulated judgment that we're talking about are this district's, Golden State, S&T Mutual, and a limited amount of restriction on the county, their rights. So if you are a large well owner, or if you're a small well owner, your rights are not affected by the stipulated judgment or the basin plan, and you have the right to intervene at any time after the judgment is approved by the court. And I really want to emphasize that nobody's rights are being affected other than the parties to the agreement, and that it's important, I think we all agree, that we get to work on seawater intrusion, and that's what these organizations are aimed at doing. Any intervention that occurs prior to the court's order has the potential of delaying this for years. So it's important that everybody understand whose rights are being affected. It's important that they know that if their rights are affected after the judgment, that they have rights to go to court as an intervener to get redress for whatever damages they have suffered. And it is our sincere hope that we can get that stipulated judgment approved by the court on August 14. And I want anybody who feels that they have questions about this to feel free to contact me to discuss it, because I'd be happy to discuss it with anybody at length in terms of what we're doing, where it's going, and the public's right to be a part of the process as soon as the court approves a stipulated judgment. So that's my report, Mr. President. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? Seeing none, no? Okay, thanks. Okay, next is LOCAC.
Good evening. From our April meeting, we're actually very pleased. There's been a very good turnout for the community plan update meetings. The next one is May 18th, and it's covering chapters 5 and 6 of the community plan update. It will be in the community center, South Bay Community Center, and it begins at 6 o'clock. LOCAC has, at our last meeting, we seated our newly appointed member, Jeff Weir, and we voted on a District 3 candidate whose name is Julia Oberhoff. She was elected unanimously to that position. We also reviewed a letter drafted by the Traffic and Circulation Committee to send to the Bicycle Advisory Council. That letter is in regards to suggested upgrades to bike routes around town that would eventually result in a bicycle loop, an uninterrupted bicycle loop. And so moving on, I have some preludes. I know a fair amount about what's going to be coming before us in May. So our next meeting is May 28th. We will, assuming at least that your agent can be there, we will be going through the cell tower project from the CSD. We will be considering an item on painting bicycle lanes on Los Osos Valley Road through the center of the business district. Randall Knight from the Land Conservancy will be giving a short presentation on what they do. And we'll be collecting comments on the County Water Conservation Ordinance Title 8 and 13 updates, and we will be electing officers for this for the next fiscal year.
Okay, thanks. Any questions? Seeing none? Okay, thank you, Vicki. Okay, we need now our Los Osos Baywood Park Chamber of Commerce report.
Good evening. I'm Steve Vinson with the Los Osos Baywood Park Chamber of Commerce. Just one thing for you tonight. Next Friday, May 15, from 5:30 to 7:30, we're having our business expo celebrating 60 years of the chamber in business. It's going to be a party atmosphere as we showcase local businesses, restaurants, products and services, along with prize giveaways throughout the evening. It's open to the public and admission is free. During the event, we'll have a Masters of Ceremony who will be offering all visitors chances to win over a dozen door prizes, plus a 50-50 drawing, and a raffle to win a big weekend at a beautiful vacation home in Morro Bay. This is a great chance to see all the businesses all under one roof. If you believe in shopping small, this is a great way to go out and show your support. That's it. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions? No? Okay. Let's move on to the Emergency Services. Chairman Olusky.
So the Emergency Service Advisory Committee met on April 21st. There was some discussion. I think the primary discussion was about the budget. That was the primary item on the agenda. So the budget came forward for discussion, and quite frankly, there was a serious number of different questions. And let me just go over a couple that I want to get off on the table, first of all. So, and then I'll go over some of the things that we discussed in detail. But first of all, there was a request and actually a motion from the committee that they have the opportunity to have a discussion and answer to written questions prior to the board approving the budget. So I'll leave that out there. We can discuss that at the end. But there was a specific request from the committee to meet prior to our adoption of the budget. At that point, they thought that the budget was coming to us tonight, but since it's coming to us on May 20th, so that's the request from them. But there was a,
also a serious amount of discussion about, and it's come up prior tonight already, about potentially having the committees schedule to meet monthly, and then if there's nothing for the committee to discuss, to go ahead and cancel the meeting in lieu of just doing the quarterly meeting. So I know that our bylaws call for, you know, that the board to set the schedule for the meetings, but I just wanted to bring that up as another concern that was raised by the committee. So in regard to the budget, the specific issues that were raised, and this was in a motion that was brought forward. First of all, there was a question about the general property tax revenues and whether the actually percent of the increment increase in property tax was correct, because in the budget they're using a 2% number, but yet the county tax collector has indicated that they believe in this area that the property tax revenues increase will be closer to 2.75%. So that's a question out there as to what really will be the general property tax incremental increase over this year to the next year. There was also a question about the administrative allocation fees as to whether that was properly calculated or not. And I did speak to Mr. Wright and Ms. Kivley about that subsequent to this. And there was an ad hoc committee that was appointed of by President Baltimore that consisted of President Baltimore and President Wright, and they believe that the administrative allocations were properly allocated. So that's the answer to that question. Then there was missing in the financials that we had revenues, past revenues from CSA 9I. It was missing the revenues for fiscal year 2013-2014. And that's a question that we'd still like to know the answer to, because I have not been able to understand that. I believe that Phil may know the answer to that question, but that was the other question that was raised by the committee, is the CSA 9I revenues. And then finally, as part of the motion, was a question about when the 2013-14 audit would be available so we could use that, or it could be used by not only that committee but the other committees, as a basis for an analysis of the budget to see if there was any flaws or defects or information missing from the previous financial years. So that was a motion that was made and passed unanimously by the committee. And then I'll go through some questions. They asked me to submit a whole bunch of written questions to the general manager, which I've check with my vice chair on, and we will be submitting those and getting written answers back on them. But I'll go over a couple of them later. But we also talked about the the solar installation that's going to be going up on the firehouse, and the scope of the installation that's going to be going up on the firehouse. It's not going to be covering the entire roof area. It's only going to be covering the area that is structurally sound to support it at this point. So there'll be no additional requirements for that. We talked a little bit about the tower that was being under repair, which I guess the tower's back up now. So the chief was going to report on that, so I kind of punted to him, and I'm sorry he had to go on an emergency call tonight. And I think that was the primary things we discussed, and then I'll go just over some of the other items. Chuck, do you have anything to add to that?
No, not yet.
Okay. There's just some other things that came up that I just wanted to bring up. And primarily, I think these were the items that I think that they would like to have addressed. Primarily the meeting schedule. And quite frankly, I didn't know at the time that we were at there who actually calls or sets the schedule for the meetings. And it's actually the board. So I think that the committee would like to have the board consider, like I said, scheduling either monthly or bi-monthly meetings with an option to cancel in lieu of having the quarterly meetings. And then the question about, can the committee meet either alone or in a joint committee meeting with another committee prior to the budget coming to us on May 20th. And the two other items were clarification of how public speaker addressing the committee's comments are to be scribed in the minutes, because, and I remember this, we set up a uniform procedure for how public comments would be described in our committee minutes, and they're not being done that way again. So I think that's something that we need to talk about, not today, but just exactly how those public comments are going to be described in the committee minutes. And then last, the other question came up, and this is something that I would really like to see us revert back to our previous procedure on. If you'll notice on our administrative and committee reports, we're not getting the minutes from our committees anymore. And I would like to see our administrative and committee reports include the minutes from the advisory committees, because we've always done that in the past, and we've done it as a receive and file thing. But if Chuck and I are at the ESAC meeting and you don't get a receive and file of those minutes, you guys don't know what's going on except at this meeting, because it would be a Brown Act violation for Chuck or I to talk to you about it. So I think it's really, really important for an somebody's talking back there, and it's really tough for me to talk. Could please? So I think it's tough to be, you know, to communicate that information to the rest of the board if we don't get a receive and file for the committee reports. So I don't know why that's not happening anymore, and if we need to amend our bylaws or whatever, but I definitely think we need to go back to our former process, which was to have receive and file the committee's minutes. And that came up at the committee, but I'm also on board with that one. So that's it. And then I will be submitting these written questions to the general manager. But I think the primary thing right now is the question is, do you want to have them meet prior to the budget adoption? Is that pretty much it, Chuck?
Yes, they were pretty adamant about the need for another meeting.
Okay, well, we'll definitely address that. In regards to the committee meetings, I want to clarify. Last year, end of last year, I think the last 6 months actually, there was multiple cancellations of meetings. And so one of the proposals in our bylaws is have quarterly meetings, and that was what we adopted. But the communication maybe is not as clear as it should be, is that if a committee chair wishes to have an additional meeting, they can request it from the board. So if that's what you want to do, then we can do that. It's not like you can't.
Well, we're requesting a meeting before the 20th.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Well, we'll work on that for sure. So just to clarify on that, I agree with you about the minutes for the committee meeting. It should be included. And so, okay, thanks for bringing those up.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions from the board? No? Okay, moving on, we'll go to Utility Advisory Committee.
Okay, the Utilities Advisory Committee met on April 22nd. Among the things that happened, and we we had a review of Brown Act procedures and so on, and tried to sort of keep aware of those as we move through our agenda. There was a budget review of the UAC's activities, led by Kathy Kibley. District Engineer Miller reviewed some of the issues pertaining to intent to serve letters. I made a presentation on the ad hoc committee that was set up with Director Wright's advice and concurrence to look at potential grant opportunities from federal agencies and from private and public foundations. The ad hoc committee was working when we weren't having an entire meeting. And the way it was working is I was sending things to members individually, calling them up, having a discussion. They sent me emails back, and we worked through. We started with many dozens of potential foundation or grant sources, and we're down to about 30. And throughout this process, I was meeting with District Engineer Miller, and we're about ready to start honing in on some potential sources of funds, because this is going to be our only source for a while. So, is there a need for another meeting? Perhaps. I want to sort of play out this ad hoc committee regarding the grants and see how it plays, frankly.
Okay. Very good. Okay, thank you. Any questions or any additions, Director Storm?
No.
Okay, thank you. Okay, let's move on then to the Parks and Recreation Ad Hoc Committee report. There is a written report in the packet.
Thank you.
Director Storm.
Thank you.
This is the product of almost a year's worth of investigation, but unfortunately, Mr. Seitz, if I'm correct, this hasn't been properly noticed and agendized in order to take any action on, right?
That's correct. The board can direct that to come back on the next agenda.
So the upshot is I wanted to put together a standing committee to take input from the public, hear what people have to say about this through a public process that has the time dedicated to focusing on this issue, and hear what people have to say, and then recommend an action back to the board. Unfortunately, the only thing I think we can do is ask that come back as an action item. So that's really the substance of my report. Was I think we're at the point where it's time to put together something and see something targeted.
President Wright, yes. If it's a single issue committee, that is more akin to an ad hoc committee rather than a standing committee, unless it's your intention to have this committee go beyond 12 months. If you intended to go beyond that period of time, then it would need to be a standing committee. But if you think it's a single action or a single item type committee that's taking this public input and can be done within 12 months, it could be an ad hoc committee that would be appointed by the president of the board.
Would it otherwise function like a standing committee and have two directors and noticed meetings and all that? Or
It's a choice of the ad hoc committee whether they. It's not necessarily a Brown Act committee if it's not a standing committee, but it doesn't mean that the ad hoc committee couldn't subject themselves or apply to themselves the Brown Act. And
I think the proper thing to do would be to come back and have this as an action item if everybody else agrees, and we can discuss discuss that. Okay. Is that okay? Can we?
Okay, Lou.
I think there are advantages of having an ad hoc committee structure if you actually want to do intensive intellectual work and discuss things. Frankly,
I understand, and I've been doing that for almost a year.
Yeah, and
it's to the point now where it's time, in my opinion, it's time to bring in the public into the process, and at least. So more people than I'm just having one-on-one meetings with. That's my perspective.
Okay. Comment?
Yeah, I'd like to agree with you, too, because when I first got elected to the board 7 years ago, this was the same thing I went through, was looking at park and rec opportunities in the community. It was a different situation then because of not having the drought, and we were in discussions with the school district and with the county, et cetera. But I think the more input you can get in the broader involvement you can get, the better it is. So I agree with bringing it back.
Okay. Well, we can bring it back at the next regular meeting.
I have one thought maybe that you hadn't considered before. There's been a lot of talk about need for a dog park in this town. There's a large county facility park just to the east of the tennis courts behind the community center. Large lawn there that a lot of people use for exercising their dogs. Could that possibly be formalized as a dog park? Some people like fences for their dog parks, and that might be all that's needed. It may have the advantage of being able to take out some grass, because quite often wood chips are the surface of choice at dog parks. We could save water and have a dog park on existing facilities.
I think that's a great thought, and I'm open to basically everything. I've had more warm receptions from certain people than from others, and that's reflected in my report, and I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
Could I address that comment, though?
Sure.
Part of what the problem with that is, and we discussed this years ago, is that that's a county-run facility and a county-maintained facility, and it has to have a county-wide benefit, and the county isn't in the dog park business. I mean, that's just the reality of the situation.
Maybe they should be.
I'm not saying they shouldn't be. I'm just giving you the history on that.
So if we're all agreed, we'll bring this back as an action item to talk about what kind of committee.
Correct. Okay. We'll do that for the next regular meeting.
Good. Thank you.
I agree with you.
Okay. Director Cecilia, do you have anything on your section 7?
No. I've reviewed the information that I was provided, but there's nothing new to report other than just a few emails back and forth with Fish and Wildlife, but basically asking the CSD to come to meetings and define what our role is going to be, and I think we'd like that too.
Run that by me again.
Basically, we're still trying to define what the CSD's role is in this whole HCP thing. Are we having one or have we two HCPs, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. Okay, Director, announcements of district and community interests, reports or on attendance at public meetings, training programs, conferences, or seminars? Anybody? Seeing none? Okay. Thank you. We'll close out admin. And then before we move on to public comments for items on administrative and committee reports, any item on the consent agenda to be pulled? Seeing none. Okay, we'll move on. Now we'll have public comment for items on the administrative and committee reports and the consent agenda. Please step forward and address the board. State your name.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker. I first want to congratulate Director Storm on his report. I hope when you bring it back that you actually like maybe do a PowerPoint or something and talk about what your research has done. You know, if you're not home reading this on the internet or down at the office, you don't know the work that you put into it, and I appreciate that. I actually would like legal counsel probably to give us a history on the pool fund, because I don't think it's pool money. I think it's recreation money. So that needs to be resolved. And then what are our options with that money? So that needs to be talked about. The Emergency Services Committee discussion, Marshall, the biggest thing that we talked about, and I guess I missed it if you mentioned it, is that we have a significant increase in the CAL FIRE contract and how we're going to manage to adjust our budget accordingly. And what caused that is a larger question that also hits this district, and it's the CalPERS unfunded liability discussion that is coming up in every single public agency. And what is our number? What does it mean to this district, and how are we going to cope with it? That might be a legal discussion as well of how that affects the district and how we're going to grapple with paying that down. We talked about at the Emergency Services Committee, and I brought this up before, the $180,000 subsidy that is general property tax paid to the water department. With the increase at CAL FIRE, it occurs to me that that money is district-wide and should be going to a district benefit, and we all benefit from the fire department. The water department is exclusive, so that discussion really needs to be bumped up to the forefront and had in public. You're going to talk more about, well, you're not going to talk about it because nobody pulled it. It's your financials, and really the financials from each month without an audit, we don't know where we're going, where we were, where we ended last year, and where we're going to go next year. And if May 20th is the soonest we're going to see a draft budget or a few days prior, I have some real concerns, especially with this unfunded liability that's coming from CalPERS.
Okay, thank you. Next speaker, please.
Thank you, Mr. President, board members. Good evening, Jeff Edwards. I wanted to speak to a couple of things real quickly. First of all, your district legal counsel's report on the ISJ, that's the best news I've heard, this year, as a matter of fact. Now the discussion is finally going to be in the public's view, and I think we actually have the opportunity maybe to get some things done now, so that's fantastic. Also, under item 9H, I would like to thank Director Storm for his efforts And I would agree with noticing this item as an action item to bring it back for a more full discussion. And I also would like to add that I support the standing committee because this matter is likely to go beyond 12 months, and so I think that's probably in order. And then lastly, I'd like your board to reconsider 11E, and I'd ask you to pull that item specifically to consider some clarifying language that I've offered. This is in connection with the stage 3 of the water shortage contingency plan, and while it may go without saying, I did want to offer some clarifying language regarding what a new connection is, and I would submit to your board that a new connection does not include a water service connection associated with replacement dwelling, one that's been recognized by the Regional Water Quality Control Board and the County of San Luis Obispo, and that these replacement dwellings be allowed to be reconstructed. So I would ask that you consider this in the context of a pulled consent item 11E, and I appreciate your consideration. I am available for any questions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next person, please.
Lindy Owen, I too wanted to, I read the whole report on the Parks and Rec that Director Storm presented, and to me that's the most thorough evaluation I've seen in all the years I've been coming in, all the Parks and Rec groups that I've been involved in. So I hope that moves forward and we actually get community discussion going, because it's certainly lacking. I wanted to ask, I mean, I heard that the adjudication and all this information about the basin plan is all coming forward August 14th, but I just wanted some clarification. The governor, I think it's called GSA, the governor presented that all wells were to be monitored as part of the drought measures, and it's either called groundwater, surface, anyway, Rob probably knows exactly what it is. How will that affect the adjudication? And again, how do we know how much water we have in our basin if we don't know how much water the private wells are pulling? I happen to know that there are private wells watering lawns and living the lavish life here in Los Osos, while some of us are in our showers with little buckets and we're not brushing our teeth, you know, with any more than 2 teaspoons of water. That's where I have a problem with this adjudication, because it certainly is not addressing the larger problem as to why are we not all working on the solution to saving what's left of our water basin. Once saltwater intrusion comes in, we're done. We have no storage capacity. We have nothing. We're out of water. So I really want that addressed, because it is on a state level was mandated, and I don't know how that affects what we're doing here. Again, on the utilities department, Director Ternowski, I don't know who was on his ad hoc committee, so it sounds like he had experts that he knew. And I just wanted to say there's plenty to discuss, and I would really urge that we switch Director Cecina over to it, because of his wide knowledge of the water basin and the problems that we have and we're facing. His experience would be very helpful, and I think the two of you would be a great team. Oh, and I just had a question. Is it true that we only had 3 inches of water in 2013? That was what was measured at the 3.12 inches of water in the whole year of 2013?
No.
That shocked me.
Thank
That's
you.
It.
That's it.
Thanks.
Thank next speaker, please.
Sorry.
What? Sparkling person.
A bunch of things. First of all, I attended the court hearing. Another 3.5 months before the judge actually makes a decision if everything goes okay. It was also mentioned at that meeting that it looks like what will possibly come out of this to fund the projects is a public facility district. Wow. Increase in sewer cost, increase in water rates, public facility district. I hope this community can absorb all that and still maintain its personality. Utilities Committee, Mr. Tarnowski, part of your report, you talked about the budget. What you didn't mention is that the committee wanted to make sure that all of the utility budgets were addressed at the Finance Committee, which wasn't the case at the mid-year budget review. Let's see. Third thing, emergency services. I hope you guys demand and make happen another meeting. There were a lot of things at that meeting that were disturbing, that were controversial, that need answers. You're looking at an increase in the cost, finally, for the first year, a dramatic cost for the Cal Fire contract, and Phil trying to figure out how he's going to balance this budget, where he's going to get money to fund the sinking fund. We don't have an audit, and he has not seen a cash balance for his fund since Ms. Kibley has taken over the district. The emergency fund last year ran a surplus, a significant surplus. Doesn't know what the dollar amount is, doesn't know what that's going to go to, what it's going to be designated to, but the committees in the past weighed in on those issues. The other thing that was disturbing at that meeting is a talk of a slight increase in administrative draw in dollar amount, but no analysis in that packet for that meeting of the administrative allocation, but it showed up the next night at the Utilities Committee meeting. And why it wasn't in emergency services is because Ms. Kibley believes that this next fiscal year she will be spending more time administering the fire department than she did last year, when we supposedly had all of the problems due to the previous accountant. There is no way, and I wish somebody at this microphone, when he's in the room, would ask Mr. Vinaris what his department does administratively and have Ms. Kibley answer in front of a microphone what that office down there provides for the fire department. Because there is no way she's spending 9 hours a week on fire. There's no way the administrative assistant is spending 8 hours a week, and there's no way the accountant's spending 8 hours a week on the fire department.
Okay, thank you. Next speaker. Okay, seeing none. Oh, one more.
Excuse me. Sandra Hedges, Los Osos. I want to just still talk about the parks and recreation. That might be a great idea. Putting chips, but I got news for people that don't have animals. Those chips get in their feet, because I've had it happen to me, and I've had to soak my dog's feet to get them out. So that's a bad idea, Chuck. Sorry. You know, because wood chips are everywhere now, and other people walk my dog sometimes because I train her and teach her at home. I just want something for all of us to use with no problems. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other speakers? Okay, seeing none. Bring it back. Any comments from the board?
I have a comment and a question there. I did want to make clarification, because thank you, Julie, for bringing that up. I forgot to mention about the fire department reserves and the CalPERS, which they were not members of CalPERS up until this year, so that is an additional expense that the fire department is going to have to absorb this year's CalPERS for the fire
reserves. Reserves.
And so I'm ready to make a motion.
Okay, I just want to make one comment in regards to 11E. I think we're going to bring this back at the end of this year again to look at it once we have our well testing for the second time. And so it's just a comment there for me. Any other comments?
Well, there was a question about how the new Groundwater Management Acts affect the ISJ, and I thought that might be just a general one, because I've had the same question before.
Yes, I can answer that. Basically, those rules apply to the purveyors The ISJ has a single function, or basically two functions, but one is to finance the basin plan improvements, and the second is to act as a basically to review all the data from the basin to determine whether or not the basin plan is working and to modify that plan if it is not working. That is not affected by anything that the governor has done, because it just has that single purpose. Those rules apply to the district as a purveyor of water, what the governor has done. I could respond to a couple other items that were brought up.
Go ahead.
The unfunded liability issue has become kind of the top, because that's a new accounting standard that they have to account for unfunded liabilities. And what they've discovered, and what this discovers, is that CalPERS, even though this district has paid every PERS payment, and even though pretty much all government agencies have been making those payments, they've been doing so on a projection of PERS interest income from their investments. And because they have not been getting that interest to match that, they've created an unfunded liability. Okay. I'm learning more than I really want to know about PERS, this issue affects every client that I have. So it's going to be one that we're going to be grappling with. But the good news is, if they start performing better in their investments, the unfunded liability goes down. So it's there is that possibility. Finally, Mr. Margeson brought up the CFD. The idea of the CFD is just one idea for funding, but the reason why that one has some attraction is it's not what's considered a property owner district. It's rather considered a registered voter district. And the CFD's territory would go far beyond the prohibition zone. It would include everybody inside the basin as a part of that and paying for those improvements. So we think that it has some attraction, especially to the prohibition zone, but to others as well, that everybody will be paying their fair share for what we need to do to reverse seawater intrusion and to regain our basin. So that was the idea behind the CFD.
Okay, thank you.
I have a comment.
Okay, comment?
Yeah, clarification about the ad hoc committee that I formed in the context of the main committee, which was focusing on grant opportunities. The members of the ad hoc committee, just to get started, consisted of the people who were full members or anybody who was on the committee was on it. I would welcome anybody to continue to approach me if you have any experience of getting money out of the federal government on a research project. I don't want anybody who wants, I think I'll look at what grant. Look, if you've done it, I'd love to talk with you. I'll meet with you, and we'll do some business.
Okay, thank you. I think, you know, going along with the unfunded liability, I believe the number for our district is about around 90,000. Is that the, sorry, like neighborhood? Okay. And then the question on the audit, do we have a timetable on that?
I've been in touch with our auditors, with Adam Guys. He's the partner in charge, the auditor, and working on it.
Can you go to the mic, please? Thanks. Okay, Mr. Doyle. Thank you.
Okay. My name is Mike Doyle. I am the accountant for the CSD. I have been in touch with Adam Guys, which is our auditor in charge. He's the partner of the firm that we have a contract with to conduct our audit. We've had him now for 2 years. I believe this is the second year running. Prior to that, we were using a firm in Bakersfield. I believe it was Brown Armstrong, right? Okay. Well, as I said, I have been in touch with them, and from January through April was their busiest time of the year. That's tax season. Okay, so that's part of the reason why there's been a delay. But there's also been other delays, and it has nothing to do necessarily with tax season. I don't want to push it off on that. It's because there's been a lot of issues with the books that I've had to fix since day one, since I took over. There's been a lot of issues where I've had to correct because of prior inaccuracies or errors that have been occurring in the books. I personally believe that we need to have our records to be exactly the same if I submit it to the board, if I submit it to the state controller's office, if I submit it to our auditors. However, the last several years, I can show you where those three reports are not the same. Okay? Because of that, I've had to go through and I've had to go with a fine-tooth comb and fix and fix and fix and fix all kinds of issues. So, with that said, we should expect to receive the audit and have it presented for the June board meeting. That's what we're shooting for. Hopefully that's where it's going to be, and we'll turn around immediately because our conclusion of our fiscal year will then be at the end of June, and we'll start working on the 2015 audit or 2014 audit. Okay, that's the plan. That's what we're shooting for.
Okay, appreciate the answers. Any other questions for Mr. Doyle since we have him in the microphone seat?
No.
Seeing none. Okay, thank you. Okay, let's move on to...
I need to make a motion.
A motion, please. Yes, sorry.
I move that the board and receive and file the administrator committee reports, approve the minutes, and adopt resolution 2015-12. After you get a second, I do have one quick comment, though.
Okay, we have a second. Mr. Storm?
Just a quick comment on the comments that Mr. Edwards submitted. I think that we are going to revisit the resolution and the ordinance in, like you said, October or November after our next round of testing. So I think that I'd like to refer these comments to the Financial Advisory Committee to make sure they get considered during when we come back for the update in October or November. So
utilities.
Utilities. What did I say?
Finance.
I'm having a rough time tonight, apparently. Okay. Yeah, I'd like to see them referred to utilities so that they are considered when we come back for updating our ordinance. So anyways, that's...
I agree.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Do you want to have a meeting?
What?
Yeah, okay. Ready? Okay. Roll call.
Vice President Nahilski?
Yes.
Director Storm?
Yes.
Director Sasania?
With the exception of item D, yes. No on item D.
Director Tarnowski?
Yes.
President Wright?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll move on to...
Are we going to visit the idea of the committee request for another meeting now or later?
That's what I was just going to ask.
Okay. Well, yeah, no, go ahead. I thought we settled that.
No, I was just going to ask that question because part of the concern that we had, and Ms. Kivily was unable to attend the Emergency Service Advisory Committee for emergency reasons, and some of those questions that were unanswered could have been answered had she been there. So I still think I would like to see a ESAC committee meeting get scheduled, and I know you're going to have a Financial Advisory Committee meeting before the budget meeting, so if we could be in the interim, I know that only gives us a week, but I'd really like to see us try to schedule it.
Okay, well, I think we need to coordinate that with Chief Benares.
Well, if it's okay with the board, I'll go ahead and coordinate it.
My understanding was, and I think you just said this, Mr. President, was that the committee chairs were supposed to schedule
with the consent of the board.
With the consent of the board. Okay, then I understood wrong.
Okay. Now just bring it to the board.
That's what I'm asking for. I'll schedule it, but I need your consent.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes means yes.
I don't think we need a motion for that, do we? Just a consensus?
I'm sorry, I was making some notes.
Vice President Hilsky wants to schedule another meeting.
Right, because it's been brought up that the committee chair can request an additional meeting, but it's up to the board to agree to that. So I'm just asking for it, and he's asking whether we need a motion or how that's done.
Okay.
Put you on the spot.
Yeah, well, technically, before you're going to... okay, I think you can go ahead and tonight...
I think we obviously have a consensus of the board for that. So
right.
Go forward.
Emergency.
Yeah. Any comment?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind having another meeting, but I don't want it to be a meeting. I want it to be a working meeting. A working meeting where we actually talk and argue and go back and forth and not a sort of dog-tailed by procedure.
Well, that's okay.
In that other words, I want to change.
I think in that sense, we're talking. That's the beauty of the ad hoc format. You can have basically a meeting.
So I may have ad hocs that are here rather than by phone.
Right.
Cool.
Now you can meet together.
We'll be together. We'll go down to.
All I know is that I have the ability to schedule an emergency service advisory committee.
No, as far
that's
as
all
ad
I want
hoc,
to know. That's
can,
all. Okay.
You can schedule an ad hoc with people present.
Shouldn't be that hard.
Okay, so let's move on to 12, a general action item. Number A is consideration of conditional intent to serve letter, ITS, for 1325 Pasadena Drive, Los Osos. Mr. Olhuski.
Yeah, and I've thought about this a lot because I've recused myself on this issue every time it's come up, and I've discussed it with the counsel for the board, and I've also had discussions with FPPC. Even though I don't have a financial involvement in this, and even though I have no benefit or gain from this, I was involved in getting the retrofit credits in the beginning, so in my own mind, I feel like I have to step down, so I'm going to do that.
Okay, fine. So noted.
Mr. President.
Mr. Storm.
Declare an ex parte. I met with Mr. Edwards in mid-April.
Okay.
At his office house.
On this. Okay.
I can hear you. Mr. President?
Yes.
I would like to declare an ex parte.
Okay.
I met with Mr. Edwards in mid-April. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Any other comments, board? No? Okay. Let's take this on. Mr. Miller.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. This is an intent to serve letter that you've heard a number of times. So those in the audience who may think my report brief, it's because it's been heard a number of times. At your last meeting, you gave staff direction to bring this item back. We also discussed this at the Utilities Advisory Committee level. And two things were brought back to you tonight. One you already took action on in your consent calendar, which means that prior to your reconsidering the November water quality results, you won't be seeing another intent to serve letter. You'll just see this one. And the other item was that when we brought this back, that we changed the language with respect to the retrofit requirements to mandate that the applicant provide an engineering report proving that they were offsetting their water use at least a minimum ratio of 2-1, and that report come to the district and be reviewed prior to perfecting the intent to serve letter. And so what we've done is under Special Condition 4, we've crafted language that basically requires the owner to offset the proposed increase in water demand through the completion of retrofits outside of the sewer prohibition zone at a minimum ratio of 2-1, and an engineering study shall be submitted for district review, including the following elements: the required estimates of future water demand for the proposed development, including outdoor use, an estimate of water savings through completed retrofits using recognized duty factors. So we wanted to see not just a reiteration of what's been done before, but make sure they're looking at those standard accepted nationwide factors, and we'll review it. And that language has been amended and added. And with that, staff is prepared to recommend your approval tonight.
Okay. Thank you.
One question, Rob. When you talk about using recognized duty factors, the county uses a certain set of assumptions for their Title 19, their retrofit programs, that talk about the assumption that each toilet in the house is flushed 12 times a day. It puts the retrofit credits off balance because you don't flush a toilet 12 times a day, everyone in your house. You know, you might have one that gets used a lot. You got that one in the basement that only gets used on poker night. Which set of duties are we using the county's numbers, or how does that go?
You know, we have some discretion there to review it from an engineering perspective. The Pacific Institute factors are what I've looked at in the past.
Seems like most are half of that 12. So, well, maybe a little over half.
Yeah. So I won't, it'll be those types of factors.
Okay. Okay, let's open up public comment.
Thank you, Mr. President, board members. Good evening again. Jeff Edwards appearing for Dr. Novy. Pretty much everything has been said. I would like to thank Rob Miller, district engineer. He's spent a lot of time on this and done a very good job. And also your district legal counsel. Appreciate the effort on that. Please approve the application. I have reviewed the conditions, and they are acceptable. Rob mentioned the Pacific Institute, and that is a good benchmark for data. So with that, I again ask for approval and reserve a little bit of time if there are any questions after public comment. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments?
One comment dealing with this agenda item even being here. I don't believe this would be before you if you guys had been proactive and gone to the appropriate level of severity earlier. I've heard almost every one of you at some point say that we're at level 5. This wouldn't be before you if level 5 had been approved a year ago. You've got to be ahead of the game on these things. So now this one gets through. Now we have a precedent set. And the other thing is, I'm glad Chuck brought up the issue of what standard's going to be, because the county, corrected the county Title 19 four different times, and it still hasn't corrected the 12 flushes per toilet for credit. If you're with the county program, if you're replacing a 6-gallon toilet with a 1.28, you're getting 57 gallons of credit per day for that toilet. Now, going into the future, I want to make sure that not only the county program, but anything you approve, that obscure toilet in the home that's not being used on a regular basis at all, the one in the granny unit that's only used when grandma comes and visits, or, in a studio below a house that's not rented that may be used occasionally. Those are being retrofitted right now by these contractors that are saying that those are fully used and utilized toilets at maximum credits. I know, because I have a client in Cabrillo Estates that was approached and had a toilet replaced that he never uses. Single gentleman, 2,500 square foot home. They came and replaced the toilet, had him sign the form. He didn't know any better. He called me a week later. He said, "Did I do the right thing here?" I said, "Well, it's done now." So full credit for that. Toilets never used. So where's the water savings?
Okay, thank you. Any other public comment? Okay, seeing none, I'll close public comment, bring it back. Any other comments, questions, before we entertain a motion?
I'd just like to say, Mr. President, that I think this is the correct policy. I think with a 2-to-1 ratio, you can, and the discretion we've added, and I think we added it because of skepticism over how some of these other retrofit programs have gone down. Can you hear me? Or am I just clacking? Okay. This gives us control over how this works in our basin, and I think this is a good policy. I'm encouraged to hear we're using the Pacific Institute factors, and I think this is the right thing to do.
Okay, thanks. Any other comments? Okay, seeing none, let's entertain a motion.
I move that the board approve the issuance of a conditional intent to serve letter for 1325 Pasadena Drive, Los Osos, and authorize the general manager to sign the letter.
Okay. Second?
Second.
Okay. Vote, please.
Director Storm?
Yes.
Director Tornowski?
Yes.
Director Sasania?
No.
President Wright?
Yes. Okay, thank you. Move on to 12B. Mr. Olhilski can return to the dais. Okay, 12B is the appointment of alternate member to the Emergency Services Advisory Committee. Applicant is Brent Marshall. And so any questions from the board before we open it up? Seeing none? Okay.
No.
Go ahead. Excuse me.
We're still meeting.
Excuse me, folks. Can we
take
it outside, please, if you want to have a discussion? Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Sorry for the interruption. Okay, so we have this before us. So any questions or comments before we... No? Okay. Any public comment? Okay, seeing none, we'll bring it back. Can I get a motion?
Yeah, I think the ESAC, we're looking forward to having Brent come back. So he was on the committee, but he didn't know whether he'd have time this year, but now he does. So he's reapplied, and we're looking forward to getting him back. So... I think, Chuck, I'll make the motion or you want to.
Go right ahead, Chair.
Oh. So we'll go ahead and whatever. I don't know how. We just isn't the, doesn't Mike just to make the appointment? Yeah. You just make the appointment.
Okay. I so move to appoint Brent Marshall to the Emergency Services Committee as alternate.
Second.
Okay. So that's no vote, right? It's just done deal. Okay, item 13, there was no pulled items. Number 14, future agenda items, board.
Yeah, I'd like to ask that at our next meeting, we have a closed session update on the status of our labor agreement. And we can talk about that in closed session.
Okay.
Also, we already mentioned in the utilities committee, I think, about that thing. So that's it.
Thank you. Anything else? Anybody?
Go ahead, Marshall.
No, this just came to my attention yesterday. So as I think everybody knows here, I'm a representative of the Morro Bay National Estuary Program, the executive committee. I'm the chair of that committee. But and I didn't know this till yesterday. We're supposed to have an alternate member, and we haven't had one since I've been on the board. So I'd like to see us agendize for next week appointing an alternate to me for the Estuary Program Executive Committee.
On the estuary?
Yeah, and I'm looking for, we got one of you four, I'd like to see a volunteer. So.
Okay.
We meet once a quarter, so it's a two-hour commitment once a quarter.
Thank you. Okay. Anything else? Yes, Lou?
I would volunteer. Is that appropriate here at this point?
It's not on the agenda yet.
Okay, fine.
But so noted. Okay. Anything else?
Two comments. I want to go back to something that was brought up by a previous commenter about the Utility Advisory Committee. They did request that budget be reviewed by a Finance Committee. They didn't want it just approved by administration. They wanted the Finance Committee to be looking at the utility budget. Again, last month I requested that we agendize the meeting place and how we got here, and that wasn't done. We have to do this in public. I guess it's best that we do it in public. The public is a part of, they're who we serve. We should do what's convenient for the public. They have input. The input's all been negative about this place that I've heard. So when are we going to talk about that? When are we going to agendize where we're meeting and why we're meeting here?
Okay, thank you. Any other comments? No? Okay. Close board comments? Closing comments by board? Excuse me. Start down here, Ms. Storm? No?
Yeah, I do have a couple of things to say. I thought we had a good meeting. I'd like to thank the staff for all the reports and for coming and explaining these things to us, as always. By the way, I hope to look at all of the budgets at the Finance Committee meeting, which is next week. Part of that is my fault. Part one of the reschedulings was my fault because, again, I teach a late class that I insanely signed up to do like a five-hour stint on Mondays and Wednesdays that will never happen again in my life. I've heard people mention dissolving the CSD. That's a conversation maybe we ought to have one day. I think when I talked to folks in the campaign last fall, there was a hankering for more local control and not less, and I made that an issue, and I think I did okay on that. And I think I'm hoping that through things like the Parks and Rec project and having public input from that, we can reiterate that point, that we can do that well. And that's have everybody have a good night.
Okay, thank you. Anything from you, Chuck?
I want to thank Directors Storm and Tarnowski for their efforts with the ad hoc committees. That Parks and Rec report was right on target, and I think that it will speak to a lot of people in town because we really don't know what the options are and didn't know anybody had been putting anything into it. So thank you.
Okay, thanks.
A comment that I would have, honestly, is we should either talk in closed session or in another. Some of the testimony that's given by the public approaches disgusting, awful, malice. It doesn't help us. It doesn't help us at all. And I wish we could deal with it in a different way now. We sort of ignore it, and I'm not sure I want to continue to ignore it.
Okay, thank you. Okay, just a couple reminders on upcoming events. The Sheriff's Office on Monday, May 11th, at the Community Center at 6 p.m. is having a town hall meeting. It's an opportunity to speak with the sheriff and his staff, share your concerns, learn of the services that the County Sheriff's Office provides the community. And we'll also have a District Attorney Dan Dow make a presentation and comments and questions. As I've stated before, FAC is meeting on May 14th, 5:30, District Office. May 15th, the Chamber is having the Business Expo, 5:30 to 7:30 at the Community Center. And on May 20th, we're having a special board meeting for the proposed 15-16 budget, 6 p.m. here. There is no closed session, so we'll move right into the budget. And then also, as a reminder again, May 26th through the 29th, the free neighborhood chipping event for Los Osos. Please call the fire station 528-1053 for additional information. And June 4th is our next regular board meeting. Thank you, and good night.
Bravo.